You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's Monday, the 6th of October, 2025. Welcome to the Matt Recap News Podcast with sharepickers.com. And of course, when I talk about Matt Recaps, I refer to companies sub 300 million market cap that are profitable. Okay, so all companies you hear on this podcast are profitable, with growth and value, hopefully, and they get ranked. But if I do mention a company and it's not profitable, they are forecast to become profitable in the next year. But there are exceptions, but they're very few and far between. A bit of macro news. Plans for a major reform of the house buying system, which aimed to cut costs, reduce delays, and halve failed sales, have been unveiled by the government. Do you know, whenever I hear about the government, this government now, reforming a system to make it better, I wince. Because so far what they've done is the opposite of what they said they want to do. They said they want growth. So what they do? Raise costs on businesses, you know, increase red tape, strangle business. And as a result, you know, unemployment is going up. Recruitment appointments are going down. And it's the opposite of growth. I just think, government, if you want to help, reduce red tape. Don't stand in their way. Don't start creating new policies and changing everything. Make it easier. Enable business. Help them. Help them invest. Help them make more money, more profits. Therefore, they can employ more people. More people employed, more people spending in the economy, more tax take. Simple as that. Whereas at the moment, the opposite is happening. So it does worry me slightly. Anyway, under the new proposals, sellers and estate agents will be legally required to provide key information about a property up front. Doesn't that already happen? When you buy a house, don't they give you, you know, basic information about a property? Like how many bedrooms it's got? Has it got a garden? All that stuff. Do they mean more in-depth stuff than that? Probably, yeah, more detailed stuff. And the option of binding contracts could stop either party walking away late in the process. That is quite good, actually. So you get these people go half the way there, three quarters of the way there, and they pull out. Oh, my word. And the week's spent. It takes so long to buy a house. You think, surely now, in this day and age, it could be a lot faster with AI and all that. Anyway, the government estimates the overhaul could save first-time buyers an average of £710 and shave off 4 weeks of the time it takes to complete a typical property deal. But sellers at the end of the chain may face increased initial costs of £310. And while broadly welcoming the move, housing experts say more detail is needing. Sorry, needed, not needing. Needing. I'm just looking at the house builders today. And they're pretty much all down. So I don't think they're happy about it. Gleeson, Bellway, Barrett Redrow, Persimmon, Foxtons, Taylor Wimpey, Vistry Group, they're pretty much all down. They need two that's up. No, in fact, one that's up. Springfield Properties, 1.2%. That's it. So I don't see that they're welcoming that so much, are they? Okay, let's have a look at the markets today. It is close of business here in the UK. Couple there. FTSE 100, pretty much flat, 9482. The FTSE 250, it is down 0.4%, 22,104. FTSE small cap, it's up 0.12%, 7331. What about the AIM All-Share? Oh, it did go up today, and it came back down. It got up to 799, which is way above that sort of resistance level, 777. But it's finished the day just, well, almost flat, but 0.06% down at 796. That's not bad there. Commodities. Brent crude, that's up 1.4%. Apparently, OPEC's increased supply output was less than previously thought. So it's not as bad as you thought. That's why it's jumping a little bit. Gold, it's up again. It's up again. What's the relative strength on gold? It's up at, well, the relative strength is 78.82. That's quite high. It doesn't hang around there for long before it consolidates. But it's up to 1.66%, 3,974 bucks a barrel. I've mentioned before my own exposure to gold in a roundabout way is Ramsden's, who deal in gold, and they achieved record profits for the last half year because of this, and I see that continuing. Nice dividend too. No investment advice given here. Copper down 1.23% per ton. That is $11,125 a ton. Let's have a look at Bitcoin rallied overnight, and it hit 125,725. That's above previous resistance. Looking very bullish. It's catching up with gold, by the looks of it. If it is digital gold, then it should be. It's fallen behind gold a bit. But it's now at 125,192, up 1.35%. The dollar, where's that? The dollar's weakening again, is it? Oh, no, it's bounced a little bit. Dollar index against a basket of currencies. And, of course, everything's sort of pegged at dollar. You know, that's why you're seeing gold. I think there's more to it than gold. There's got to be some worries. It's a safe haven. You're thinking, what's the big worry? And I'm just thinking there's got to be, you know, yes, the weakness of the dollar, but also that's linked to debt and the issuing of more bonds, I assume. So it may be going high. As long as gold keeps, you know, dollar remains weak, then commodities and gold especially should do very well. But there's also worry, geopolitical worry. Of course, talking about debt, the UK, I'm dreading the budget. They should start releasing some positive news now. All we're getting is negative news. What it does is just, you know, hinders investment. People just put off off any investments and everything stops, pauses, grinds to a halt. The two-year yield for government bonds up 0.5% to 3.998. That's the yield, 3.998. 10-year, 4.7 is the yield, up 0.85%. And the 30-year, it's not recent highs, but it's up 0.9%, 5.58. A pound will buy you €1.15. What's the stock 600 doing? Because it's flat. Because France are literally in chaos, aren't they? There's a prime minister there, I think, 26 days he's been in position, or 16, and he's resigned. And because of this, he can't get a budget through. So a pound against dollar, $1.34. Okay, the microcap database. Now, listen, I'm going to be quite biased on one of these companies because I hold them. In fact, two of these companies I hold today. But one I'm going to be biased on because I like it. But let's start off with OneSpatial. That's SPA's ticker. Landmark One Street Works contract. So at 50 pence a share, this is a market cap, 55.6 million. Enterprise value, 56.7. As a global leader in providing location master data management software, solutions and business applications, primarily to the government, utilities and transport sectors via the OneSpatial platform. So they've done a deal here on £1 million software reserves contract with UK Power Networks, enabling use of One Street Works platform over 15 months, next 15 months, with a one-year extension option. So this is quite, what am I reading here? There's a stat in here. Here we are. The One Streets software service solution could enable UK power networks to deliver a 39% reduction in road closures, improve average time to quote and average time to connect, benefiting its customers. That's quite an impressive reduction, isn't it, in road closures? Anyway, let's look at the comments here. So just going back, the financial year results, full year results for the year for 2025, and when did this end? Their year-end date was 31st of January 2021. So that's 12 months up to there. Top-line revenue up 3%, 33.4 million. Net profit of 167K versus 1.18 million. It's down 86%. Net debt of 1 million versus net cash of 1.1. And free cash flow or outflow of 1.4 million versus 97K. So it increased by 40%, the outflow. So not the best of results, really. It went backwards a little bit in 25. Forecast for 26, revenue expected to go up by 8% to 36 million. Net profit up 918%. It's from a low base, though, because last net profit is 167K. But they're going to do net profit of 1.7 million. At 50 pence a share, it's a forecast PE of 33. For 27, more improvement expected. 39 million, up 8% revenue. Net profit up 88% to 3.2 million. And that would put them on a PE of 17 and 50 pence a share. So profit growth, according to the forecast, is impressive. Valuation is less so, although at 17 times for 2027, you can argue this company has superior technology with high recurring revenue. It's not particularly expensive if they hit those numbers. If. Now, they do have H1 results out on Monday next week. So I'd say it's a bit risky taking a position, you know, in any company before results. It's always good to get more data on a company, more information. You're more informed by a company. And you never know what could happen on, you know, half year, full year results days. It's largely a liquidity event for many investors, traders who can exit or, you know, get into it. So, it's a bit more volatility around those dates. So I'd wait and see. Next, final results for the year ended 30th of June 2025. Beeks Financial Cloud, ticker BKS. What do they do? As they say here, Beeks Financial Cloud, cloud computing is crucial to capital markets and finance. Beeks is a leading managed cloud provider exclusively within the fast-moving sector. Our infrastructure as a service model is optimized for low latency, private cloud compute, connectivity and analytics, providing the flexibility to deploy and connect to exchanges, trading venues and public cloud for true hybrid cloud experience. Gordon MacArthur, CEO, holds 32.6% of the stock. At £2 a share, they are, where are they? They're down 7.7% there, 2.3. But at £2 a share, they're 134 million market cap, 127 million enterprise value. So they've got no debt, cash of 7.3 million, or 7.4 if you round it up. Share price dropped today. I can understand why, but I don't think people have seen the story here. But these are the final results, right? The highlights of the financial results. Revenue up 26% to 35.9 million. Net profit up 35%, 2.97. Net cash of 7.4 million, down 4%. Free cash flow, 2.4 million, down 36%. They've been investing in a lot. The reason why free cash flow is down, they've been investing in a lot of kit, of course, because now with revenue share model, they provide the infrastructure, pretty much. But they say the board is confident in achieving results for financial year 26 in line with its expectations. Now, those are, for 26, revenue up 14%, 41 million. Net profit up 58% to 4.7 million. At £2 a share, it's a PE of 29. For 27, revenue up 12% to 46 million. Net profit up 26% to 5.9 million. That's a PE of 23. So it's another record year for Beeks. Both top line and bottom line double digit growth. This marks 6 years, pretty much, of compound annual revenue growth of above 30%. Growth for 2026 and 2027, also very good. Again, both top line and bottom line double digit growth is forecast. I can't see any negative here, right? This company is knocking it out of the park. The fundamentals are amazing. Now, some people say, well, it's not cheap. But they're not going to be cheap. They've got, over 70% recurring revenue. They're double-digit, you know, for as long as you can see back, pretty much. 5-6 years, double-digit top-line growth, and now both bottom-line growth and forecast for that. You're not going to get cheap. There's companies on a PE of way above 30 that have nowhere near these fundamentals. Nowhere near, let alone technology they have. So they're the best in sector, showing high organic growth, have a product service that's globally relevant. If you look at stock exchanges, volumes going up, and they're growing, you know, very well. And it's a globally relevant, you know, an in-demand, best-in-class technology. The broker suggests, by the way, on valuations, because they know more about peers, infrastructure and service peers, they say they are cheap. So while I go off of a PE ratio, which is not fair sometimes, I maybe look at PEG ratio, which is 0.85 anyway, but you know, PEG ratio. They say the peers are trading on, peers are trading on a 5x calendar year 26 EV sales and 34 PE multiples, whereas Beeks is on 3.2 versus 5 peers and a PE 26.5, and they're on 34. So according to the peers, it is cheap. But I don't think it's that expensive. I mean, there are not many. What you have to understand is, if you are an investor in this company and you are looking at the share price that's going down, you think, oh, that's not good results, and you are judging the share price against the fundamentals and think because the share price has gone down, the fundamentals can't be right, you're doing it all wrong. Look at the fundamentals. Like I said, the only criticism here, pretty much, is that the valuation may be a little bit too high. Doesn't matter. What corrects this is the share price going down, or it going sideways and then continuing to grow. And so what happens is, if the price stays the same and the E goes up, the PE comes down. At the rate they're growing, it won't take long. Like I said, already on 2027 figures, they are PE 23. How cheap do you think this is going to get, considering how good they are fundamentally? It's not going to get down to, like, you know, a 15 PE. If they keep performing like they performed, it's never going to get that cheap. And I've gone over this many times. It's like, you know, paying for Premiership players. The real good ones, top tier ones, are never going to be cheap. They're the best for a reason. They perform. And you bring them into a team and you can literally see your team, you know, work its way up to the top of the Premier League because they're exceptional. They're good, great, exceptional companies. I believe this to be an exceptional company. You know, and that's why it's never going to be cheap. If the share price goes sideways or down, it will get cheap. Then you buy. But if you focus on the share price, you won't buy because, oh, the share price is going down. But if you look at the fundamentals, you couldn't do much better than this. Name a company that's done 5-6 years of compound annual revenue growth of over 30%. And it continues to do double-digit top-line, bottom-line growth. Name one. Find one. There are very few and far between. And do you know what? I guarantee they aren't on a PE below 20. Guarantee it. Now, the only negative I can see, and I can see this as a negative for a lot of people, NASDAQ, who they signed with in 2024, it looks like it's a NASDAQ, has cancelled the contract for Exchange Cloud. But wait before you go, oh, that's it. Oh, calm down. The fact is, even though it was good for Beeks to sign the NASDAQ, there's more potential in developing country exchanges. So exchanges like NASDAQ that are very liquid, very sophisticated, have a full range of services already available. Developing exchanges, as in developing countries, are more likely to adopt a wider range of Beeks' products and services. So whilst it's negative PR news, it's not negatively financially. And you can see this from the forecast. It doesn't really hit the forecast at all. They didn't even start rolling out the product on NASDAQ. So it wasn't in the forecast. And also worth pointing out at the moment, Exchange Cloud only makes up 5% of recurring revenue. So yes, it'll get bigger over time, but they only launched, when Exchange Cloud, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? So if you look at private cloud revenues, all recurring, was 71% of total, with a balance of sales from Proximity Cloud that doubled to 24%, and Exchange Cloud is ramping up to 5%. So it's increased, But it's still not significant. They will be bigger, of course, and more significant going down the line because we've got these revenue sharing contracts already starting to gain traction in the next, I mean, according to Gordon MacArthur, next 12 to 24 months. So if you get a high level of adoption at these exchanges, you'll probably see upgrades in the prices, in the revenue and profit. But you can't tell at the moment the level of adoption that's going on here, and it's too early to say. Okay, so it takes a while to roll out. But it's a move in the right direction, and I said they can be profoundly significant, these exchange contracts. But they're not at the moment, but they will be. So I believe, you know, BEEX is a great business based on fundamentals. As long as they keep delivering growth, they are worth watching. If the share price goes down, or the share price goes nowhere, or lower in the short term, valuation becomes less of an issue. If indeed it is an issue, which some people think it is, with this type of growth, I don't think it is. Like I say, you put them against any other company that have done this growth that they have, and I can't see any of them being below a 30 PE, pretty much. And this will be below a 30 PE if the share price stays where it is. It's not a problem. They couldn't have done anything better here. And I do believe it. And it's one of those companies I really like. It's in technology and in capital markets. As a business, it's a part of a company I want to own. Yes, you can have a bit of volatility going forward while these revenue share contracts come through. But they're not still knocking it out of the park. They really are. And they say if your decision to maybe sell the stock or criticise the stock was because the share price went down, please look at the fundamentals, the numbers. That's what counts, the narrative. That's what counts. If you're looking to invest in a good or great or exceptional business, this is one of those. Full stop. Full stop. That's it. Okay. And calm. Sorry, I own some stock in BEEX Financial Cloud. You'll probably tell. Okay, Brave Bison. This is an interesting one. It's rallied today quite strongly. Notice of general meeting. Recommendation to vote against. What's they're saying here? So they've had this requisition, right, from Lord Ashcroft. And it's a bit of a head-scratcher, a little bit. I don't know if it's a personal thing, but I have no idea what to make of it. But Ashcroft wants to appoint Julia Robertson to the company's board as a non-exec director. The company said the board, having consulted with shareholders and the company's strategic partnership News Corp and Professor Mark Ritson, who are all significant holders, has unanimously determined that the resolution is not the best interest of the company. The resolution will be proposed to the requisitioned general meeting as an ordinary resolution requiring 50% of votes cast to pass. I don't think they're going to get it because Tory donor and former party chair Lord Ashcroft sold his recruitment company, Impelham, Dutch rival, Headfirst, for £482 million in 2023. Robson was its CEO and left the company earlier this year. She's currently the chair of Optum Health PLC and a non-exec director at Marlowe PLC. Ashcroft is the biggest single shareholder, BBCN, with a 23.7% shareholding. However, Ollie and Theo Green, who I think are CEO and CTO, hold 19.2%. Mark Ritson holds 4%. And News Corp hold 2%. So they have combined 25.2%, which is a bit more than Ashcroft does. The share prices did rally very strongly on that news. But it's dropped a little bit. But nevertheless, I do like Brave Bison to hold some shares in that as well. And I like what they're doing at the moment, the Green Brothers. They've turned it around from being basically a management-run company to actually being their business they care about. Next, Quartix Technologies. A trading statement. They are a leading supplier of subscription-based vehicle tracking systems, software and services. The group operates and provides an integrated tracking and telematics data analysis solution for fleets of commercial vehicles that is designed to improve productivity and lower costs by capturing, analysing, and reporting vehicle driver data. Data. I was reading Andy Walters. That's why I said data. Andy. Andy Walters, executive chairman and founder, holds 22.44%. He's come back into the business after a time away. It's paying off, to be honest. He's doing a very good job. At £3.20 a share, they've got a market cap of £154 million, enterprise value £151.8. So scrolling down, They say in the trading update, financial performance in Q3 was very strong. The company now expects to slightly exceed the most recently updated market estimates for revenue and profit for the full year. The outlook for 2026 has also improved further, following significant growth in recurring subscription revenues, as noted below, they say. But the forecast for 2026, revenue up 11% to 36.1 million. Net profit up 11% to 5.3 million. At 320 a share, it's a PE of 29. Again, this is a company doing very well. It's a PE of 29. Recurring revenue. Talking about beaks, you know? It's like you're not going to get a cheap company that's doing well. 2027, if you want to get a cheap company that's going to do well, you got to get a recovery play. They don't often play up very well. So, there's a big upside, but they're hard to pick. 2027, revenue up 19% to 43 million. Net profit up 26% to 6.7 million. A PE of 23 at 320 a share. Brokers upgrade the upgraded target price from £3 to £4. I do say that the valuation is not cheap, but for this growth and recurring revenue of 90%, it's never going to be cheap. Good growing companies are not cheap. You have to pay for quality. Full stop. Anything else? That's three companies, isn't it? I'm not going to do there's a couple more. Speedy Hire. I won't do that. Anyway, listen, thanks for listening to the podcast. It's much appreciated. Of course, I'm very biased on beaks, but I still believe I don't see how you're judging it. But if you're judging by the share price, oh, it's not a good company. If you actually look at the fundamentals, it is a very good company. Very good. But I'm biased, of course, because I own some stock. But it's a very good company. And you ask 99.9% of any CEO name, would they like to be the CEO of beaks? They'd say yes. Full stop. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, you can get a membership to the Share Pickers Investment Club. I'm covering about, except probably maximum 5% of what you can find on the website. So it's worth checking out. And you can get that for a weekly equivalent at £2.88 a week. That's a 40% discount. 40%! And that's less than a fillet of fish. McDonald's. I don't know if I do fancy a fillet of fish now, but I've never really fancied one at McDonald's, ever. When I've gone to McDonald's, that's not the thing that comes to the top of my mind. You know? But in fact, someone just joined yesterday, and they did say, I'm not a big fan of sausages and batter. Well, thank you very much. And he said that because I often say, it's literally £2.88. Would you believe that? It's cheaper than the price of a jumbo battered sausage from the chip shop. That's mad, isn't it? For some dirty old meat, battered. And I keep saying, the Shippers Investment Club over a big sausage battered. One feeds your belly, destroys your health. One feeds your mind, improves your wealth. Check it out, sharepickers.com. Thanks for listening. If you get some value from this podcast, please pay it back, because it is free to listen to, of course. So if you can pay it back, I'd be much less appreciatos. Just go to your platform provider, your podcast platform provider, and give it a top rating review. It will help other people find it. Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.